Music and Booze with Mo is co-produced and distributed by Nitty Grits, the media division of the National Food and Beverage Foundation, changing the world one taste at a time. Welcome to Music and Booze with Mo. I'm Mo Herms, and I've worked in the music industry most of my life, so have met some pretty amazing musicians over the years. I also love a good cocktail, and I've encountered some really interesting bartenders as well. It seems that there is a lot of crossover, so when I can, I like to talk to musicians and bartenders about music and booze. Join us at the bar, won't you? For the next few episodes, we'll be doing something a little special here on Music and Booze with Mo. It is my tropical summer of cocktails. I've never made a secret of my love for tropical and tiki. I love wearing flowers in my hair. I always have. I grew up by the beach. Surfing was a big part of my life. Tiki naturally fell in line with all of that. And tiki is going through quite a resurgence, revival. There are many, many things going on in the tiki world and the tropical world, so I took it upon myself to talk to various friends and colleagues and new friends about their lives in the tiki world, and it's been tons of fun talking to these folks about their tropical creations and such. So join us for the summer as we have Mo's Tropical Summer on Music and Booze with Mo. Music and Booze with Mo is brought to you in part by Barkeeper, a head shop for cocktail lovers located in the Sunset Junction area of Silver Lake. Stop by for barware, vintage glassware, a carefully curated selection of spirits, and one of the most impressive collections of bitters anywhere. That's Barkeeper in Los Angeles. Check them out online at barkeepersilverlake.com, or better yet, just head on down to the store.
And she came with the same type game, the type of girl giving out the fake cell phone, the name big fame. Big she fame. Like catching big things, jewel ship, money clip, phone flip the six range. Had seen her on the ass, spotted her more than once. Ass so fat that you can see her from the front. She spot me like paparazzi, shot me a glance, and that cat woman stands with the fat booty pants. Hot damn, what's your name, love? Where you came from? Neck and wrist.
Welcome to this episode of Music and Booze with Mo. I am joined today by Karina Juarez of Tiki Co. in Bakersfield. It's a tiki bar that's only been open about 2 years. And Karina was an avid cocktail enthusiast and tiki fan, and she was able to take that fandom and turn it into an actual job working at a fantastic tiki bar. So listen to the story of her journey from enthusiast to bartender as we talk about all kinds of things in between, like punk rock and 90s hip-hop, the golden era for some of us. Join me now with Karina on Music and Booze with Mo.
Where they work and that sort of thing. So okay. This is the Music and Booze podcast. We're going to talk about music and booze, but let's start with you first. Who are you?
My name is Karina, or Corey Juarez, and I work at
Tiki. Do you
Tiki
prefer Co- Karina or Corey?
I like both. Okay. Whatever you feel.
And you work at?
I work at Tiki Co. in Bakersfield.
And how long has Tiki Co. been around now?
2 years. Is it 2 years? Our 2 year anniversary.
Last month. Really?
Yeah.
Last month? Oh, that's awesome. What were you doing before that? Because I know I met you before Tiki Co.
So, I think I might have met you here.
I met you the first year
I came here. Which
and
was
here
like
being before, Tales of the Cocktail.
Yeah, Tales of the Cocktail. I was an enthusiast the first year I came.
Okay.
The second
that's
year I came, we had been open for 1 month, so I had been a bartender for 1 month the second year.
Yeah, I think the first time I met you, it wasn't open yet.
Yeah.
And, yeah, we're just fellow drinkers, basically.
Yeah.
And then you made it your career. So how...
Well, kind of. I'm a teacher. Mm-hmm. So I bartend usually
bartend
once
by
a
night.
Week.
It's your secret superpower?
Yes. Usually once a week, sometimes fill in and stuff, but... Yeah.
So how did you get into the bartending thing? I mean, obviously we share a mutual love of cocktailing.
Right.
But what qualified you? Like, how did you convince them to hire you?
Well, I was actually friends with Roy and Sonia.
Who are the owners.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And when they told me about, they actually approached me and said, we're going to open a tiki bar in Bakersfield. And I was all excited because
I just wanted to drink there. Yeah. You're like, I don't have to drive down to LA all the time or San Francisco or something.
So they asked me to help them with the menu and ended up asking me if would you be interested in bartending? I said, heck yeah.
Yeah? That's awesome. So did you do stuff at home? Did you at home?
Yeah.
Just you were constantly making drinks for you and your husband? Or?
Yeah, me and my husband, all my friends would come over. And it's funny, like now I don't do as much at home because now I bartend. But that's how I really got into it. Tiki and just classic cocktails.
What got you into the tiki world? Do you remember?
Books, probably.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, so you just saw like a cool Beach Bum Berry book or something out there in the world?
Yeah, the Beach Bum Berry and the Sven Kirsten book.
Yeah.
I've
talked to people who got those books and were so compelled, like, not just to learn more, but especially with like the Beach Bum Berry books, for example. Got that and then was like, okay, where can I find this booze and I'm going to recreate this at home. So was that happening at you, at your house? Was your husband suddenly subjected to, like, tons of pineapple juice and rum, you know, when these came into your life?
Yeah, I'd be like, try this.
And what were your early favorites?
I guess I would start out with, like, the classics, the Mai Tai Zombie. Zombie's my favorite.
Yeah.
Favorite drink.
Zombies well, pretty hardcore to be a favorite.
Yeah. I tend to like the boozier drinks, like Navy Grog, like 151 Swizzle.
Do you have a favorite tiki bar outside of Tiki Co?
I do.
Oh, hey.
it would be Latitude, yeah.
Oh, right here in New Orleans.
Yeah, that's
my
favorite.
It's wonderful.
I also really like Tiki Tea.
Oh, yeah. Tiki Tea is also a classic.
But I feel like I don't go there enough for how close it is to me.
Well, you're very generous in giving the closeness, considering you live like an hour and a half outside on a no-traffic day outside
fine.
Of Los Angeles. But also, Tiki Tea has limited hours. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not open 7 days a week, so it's harder to get there and everything.
And we have a friend that lives a mile from Tonga Hut, so we do visit there pretty often.
So you have somewhere to crash, which is good. So what do you teach?
So, funny story. I actually just got a new job. Mm-hmm. My background is art, so I taught art for 6 years, and since then I've taught like so many things. I've taught English, math. This year I'm going to be teaching English, math, and health.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so brand
You're very
new.
Full service.
Yeah, I've done history too, so.
Well, the art thing, so were you like a art history major and that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I was an art education major.
Okay, so, and this kind of goes a little bit with why I created this podcast was because I noticed, and this I got into it more because of music, and I found that musicians would transition out and get into bar ownership or bartending and that sort of thing. But I tend to think there's like a link between those kinds of creativity and everything. And you doing art or teaching art and then also creating cocktails, to me, is kind of in that same family. I don't know. Have you ever noticed that?
I definitely see that.
Yeah. Do you paint or anything? What is your art medium of choice?
I do paint. Yeah, I like to paint and draw. I don't do it as much anymore. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people that work on our bar are creative. We have a lot of artists, and we have a lot of skateboarders, actually. Like, half of our bar are, like, really amazing skateboarders.
Skateboarding is pretty punk rock, though. I have to say that. My boyfriend's a skateboarder.
Yeah.
So, yeah, totally. And he's way into booze. So maybe it's a pain-numbing thing, too, because they hurt themselves a lot.
That makes sense.
But I had a friend, and I don't know if you ever found yourself doing this, who she used to paint while she was listening to music, and and that would kind of influence what she was painting. So when you're drawing and all of that, what's your motivation, or what helps you when you're doing all of that? I mean, you don't said you don't paint as much or draw as much as you used to.
Yeah.
But was it just something you just had to do at the time, or do you get it out just by teaching it these days?
I think that's kind of it. When I started teaching it, I started doing it on my own less.
Kind of like the drinking.
Yeah. Same thing. You don't have as much time for it anymore. Uh-huh. And then I think I got out of the habit. I have been doing a little bit, painting some drinks for an upcoming menu, you know, like little school, like illustrations. I did some watercolors.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. Is this going to be for Tiki Cow?
Yeah.
For a new menu? Okay. I like that crossover very much. So you're bringing it back. You're like marrying your two passions, artistic passions. So you create... Well, you helped create the menu at Tiki Cow.
Yeah.
So this would be, I'm guessing you were helping them with old drinks as well as inspiring new drinks.
Right. So he wanted a mix. Roy wanted a mix of, like, classic drinks, which, you know, we put our own spin on, and then originals, which when I first started coming up with original drinks, I had never done that before, really.
Yeah.
I mean, just, like, changing an ingredient here or there. So.
Yeah.
Threw a lot of stuff down the drain.
I think that's part of the process. So what's one that you've come up with that you totally love?
Okay, so...
I'm sure you have tons that you totally love, but...
There's actually one that has a musical name, so...
Oh, shut up! It works!
So it was a special one week, and we actually ended up putting up on the menu because it's so popular. It's called Senses Working Overtime.
Oh, no way!
Yeah.
Nice. So somebody's an XTC fan then?
Yeah.
So was that your era of music? Was that kind of 80s stuff?
Oh, I like a lot of different stuff. Mm-hmm. I do like a lot of 80s, new wave.
Yeah.
I like punk, but not really 80s, more 70s.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Ooh, we'll get into that a little bit then, because that's like the origins of punk.
Right.
The 70s.
Yeah, I like the early stuff.
So what's early in your world? Because there's so many... The early punk scene... Okay, so I look at it, there's the... England punk scene, you know, all that. And then there was the LA and New York and all of that. So I kind of see it coming in waves. It was like London, and then it kind of hit New York, and then it made it to LA eventually. And so the New York scene I tend to think of as early 70s.
Yeah.
But like Talking Heads was considered punk at that time.
Yeah.
And I don't think of them as punk at all in the current incarnation. But I guess it was because they were just so weird at that time. Mm-hmm. That anything that was kind of different.
Same thing like the Stooges.
Totally. And Stooges were like early 70s, though. Right. And they all got lumped into that kind of garage or punk kind of thing. So what is your era of punk then? I mean, you say early 70s, but what are the bands that are in that for you?
Like, I do like a lot of the British stuff. Susie and the Banshees, Buzzcocks, the Adverts.
So Susie and the Banshees I don't think of as punk either.
Yeah.
But they were
kind
part of
in that area.
And
yeah.
I guess super early Susie and the Banshees was pretty noisy.
Right.
So, like, what's your favorite? What's your go-to Susie?
Wow.
Watch, it's Christine. Yeah, I guess that's goth.
I don't know.
Just love them all.
I like a lot of stuff. Yeah.
She's all, I'm totally on the spot. I can't think of it. You're like me. I'd be terrible on a game show.
So I guess I like stuff throughout their career, so I guess it's not all punk. Yeah.
Well, no, that's all right. They came from that scene for sure.
Yeah.
Because if you think about the song Love and Avoid, that's like
I was
a
just
total
thinking
punk
that song.
Song.
Yeah, that was like...
That's totally punk, you know? And what, like Carcass and things like that, these early ones are super noisy and punky. To me, I think they just got, you know, the goth thing because...
They got
they dressed, the makeup and a little how they dressed, and then the music got kind of swoopy or something, you know, as it went on, maybe more reverb or something. But yeah, tell me about your bands. Tell me about your punk bands.
Okay.
The ones that you're guilty, no, not guilty pleasure, the ones that you put on and rock out to when you go home.
So I do like the Buzzcocks a lot. I've seen them live a couple times. They're always, they're still so good. Let's think.
When you go to the jukebox, what makes you happy when you see it?
Oh, I have my own jukebox favorites because I feel like you kind of have to play things that everybody likes.
Oh, is this like at the bar, you mean?
Anywhere.
Anywhere?
Yeah, like where they have the digital jukebox, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's really kind of you to think that way because a lot of people don't. And that makes me feel like you were born into hospitality to some extent.
I guess so. In Bakersfield, a lot of the places, they'll just change the song. like the bar.
I'll just skip it.
Yeah.
That happens at some other places, too. So what are your jukebox songs?
I like to play Otis Redding.
Any Otis Redding? Or is it like Doc Ove? Oh, Try a Little Tenderness.
Yeah.
Then everybody can have their own. Pretty in Pink moment and pretend they're Ducky.
Yeah.
Remember that scene? Okay, what else is on there?
I like to play The Strokes. Mm. Like, either Hard to Explain or Last Night, everybody sings along to that one.
Yeah, that's true.
Rolling Stones.
Which Rolling
Under
Stones?
Under My Thumb.
Okay.
Yeah.
I actually had a dream about that song once.
Oh, yeah.
It's not my favorite Rolling Stones song, which is why I remember that I had a dream about it. I don't remember the dream. I just remember thinking it was weird that I had a dream about that song. Because I love a lot of other Rolling Stones songs. I'm like, why that one? And then I, like, spent the next day trying to analyze why that song is showing in my dream. So maybe I went to a bar where you were playing it.
Probably.
So what else is on your jukebox list?
Bob Dylan, like, Rolling Stone. Everyone likes to sing that one, too. I'll do, like, the Black Keys.
Mm-hmm.
And then hip-hop.
What hip-hop? Is it, like, 90s hip-hop?
I love 90s hip-hop.
That's so a thing. I was talking with someone recently about, I was seeing club nights for the aughts.
Mm-hmm.
They're just like, ooh, it's a special night of the aughts. And it's, like,
pictures
of, like, The Strokes and, like, Justin Timberlake and things like that. And she was like, what are the aughts? And she's, like, 10 years younger than me, so I'm like, you should know what the aughts are all about. And she's like, yeah, what would be the bands? And I think sometimes it doesn't seem terribly far removed. And she's like, well, I know 90s hip-hop is a huge thing, and it's all that conscious hip-hop. And I'm like, yeah, but that was good stuff.
Yeah.
So it's very melodic and relatable. And so I love that you say that, too, because almost universally people are just like, oh, yeah, 90s hip-hop.
Yeah, I used to be very into hip-hop. That was... Mm-hmm. like my thing for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Now I try to get into like new rappers. I've tried a lot and I just
nobody's
just
made an impression.
Too old.
That's probably not true, but yeah, it takes more of an effort. So there's nobody new that's like
as far as hip hop
like nothing. Aww. What were your favorite old ones then? What was the stuff that you were super into?
I really like Mos Def, Tribe Called Quest.
What is Mos Def called now? Do you remember? He changed his name.
Yasmin Bey, something like that.
Something like that? Mm-hmm. So I remember he changed it. I got to meet him once.
Oh.
When was it? It was like 2005 or 2006. And he came in with his manager and his dad.
Oh, nice.
And his dad was... I worked for this cell phone company and they were doing like a thing with us or something. And his dad was flirting with every girl that came in the room. His dad was just like, well, hi, miss, aren't you pretty? So nice to meet you. Like super charming flirting and everything.
Yeah.
And Mos Def was really charming too. And I just remember that he kept turning. Every time his dad did that, he'd turn, he'd just be like, you know, shaking his head like, sorry, that's my dad, you know. And well, we know where he gets it from.
Do they look alike?
Kind of. It's, you know, he had such different hair, and his dad was wearing, like, was all dapper dressed and everything with a little cap and all this stuff, and which was super adorable, too. So I'm like, okay, your dad can flirt with me because he's cute. You know, look at that. But I remember them looking enough alike, but different eyes. But Mos Def has big eyes, you know, and his dad didn't have eyes like that. So you liked Mos Def?
Yes.
And you liked, gosh, who was my early
Wu-Tang.
Name? Oh, fun.
Tupac.
Mm-hmm. But those are all good ones.
Yeah.
You know, at that Jameson block party last night, I think you were there as well. And I remember I was walking around a little bit, and then they played California, you know, the California Love song, and everybody went nuts, and I had to remind myself that I was in Louisiana, not in California.
It's always cool when that comes on, like when you're out of town.
Yeah, when you're out of the state, and that song comes on, and everybody goes crazy, and I'm like, yeah, they're all singing about my state, yo. You know, it's super fun, super fun. So you guys have one drink at Tiki Co.
Mm-hmm.
that is named after a song. Have you guys ever dabbled in anything else like that over there? Have you thought about
it? Yeah, we actually, it's hard to come up with drink names, so we do that sometimes. We had a special called Three Girl Rumba.
Three Girl Rumba.
So that's a song by Wire.
I was like, that sounds familiar.
So it had three rums in it.
Nice, nice. That's a cool reference.
Yeah.
I like that. We'll be right back.
possible. Now you ain't got a number, you just wanna rumble, and there ain't no way you're gonna go under. Go under, go under, go under, go under. You tear me asunder. Go under, go under, go under. Yeah.
Well, it's so funny. Like before, I was. Was telling you it was hard to come up with a drink. Now it's easy to come up with a drink. Now it's just hard to come up with
the
name.
Names.
Because I do a special every week, so run hey, out.
So every week when you have a special, then you have to come up with a new name every time.
Yeah.
Naming conventions can
or
be
a
tough.
Lot of times my boss will pick one.
We'll pick a name?
Yeah.
And do they pick song names too sometimes?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'm just checking to see the battery life on here. I think we're good. How do you remember any good... besides Three Girl Rumba, do you remember any good song titles that have come up? Is there one that you want to make a drink for? Because you do like music, so maybe there's like a Buzzcock song, and you're like, maybe that'll be the inspiration for a drink. Have you thought about that side of it before?
I usually don't do it that way. Like, yeah. Come up with a name first once in a while. But,
how do you come up with your drinks? Like, what's been your method of madness to do these things?
Sometimes it'll be like, okay, we want to use this spirit. Mm-hmm. What's going to go with that? What flavors? Mm-hmm. And then what's different from what we did last week? We already did a gin drink. Mm-hmm. Now we want to do mezcal or something else. Because our menu is mostly all rum.
Yeah.
But we try to change it up on the specials.
So the specials are where you pull in the other spirits and everything?
Yeah. I mean, we still do rum specials, but... Mm-hmm.
So have you found, like, you know, one thing that you see that always kind of intrigues me that I think is really neat in the cocktail world is just the flavor discoveries, you mm-hmm. know? I mean, that's something that has got to be a learning curve for you since you've only been doing this for a couple of years
right.
now. But, you know, sometimes you'll go in and you'll have a drink and you're like, how on earth did they create this taste? So how has that been working for you since you're learning right now? I mean, how are you teaching yourself to be a better bartender?
Oh, I think you have to try everything.
Yeah.
Like, we get a new product, we're trying it, seeing how we can use it immediately. Yeah.
What are some favorites right now? Like, not rums necessarily, but maybe some mixers you've found or aperitifs or amaros or, I don't, you know, things like that, liqueurs and things. Is there anything that you're absolutely loving to create with right now? Have you phased out of some things and phased into others?
Yeah, I don't know. Changing it up.
Will be like, we have figs. We're going to do all figs right now.
We made, for the Three Girl Rumba, actually, we made a ginger demerara syrup.
Ooh,
which was really good. And that also had cherry hearing. We like to use that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we do use a lot of, like, falernum or allspice dram. So
and that's going to be pretty standard in tiki
flavors.
Drinks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I love chartreuse. I know you love chartreuse.
I love chartreuse.
It is expensive to put in cocktails.
I know,
but
right? It's true. Of course, my mom used to tell me when I was a kid that I had expensive taste. And evidently, that's showing up in my cocktail drinks as well. So, no, I do love that. But maybe every once in a while.
Yeah.
I mean, have you come up with a neat chartreuse drink?
We had one for...
That could be a special, because then you don't have to
use it. We had a St. Patrick's Day one, of course.
Ooh.
And it was a mezcal and tequila drink called...
Mezcal, tequila, and chartreuse?
Yes.
Oh.
And basil.
That sounds like a dream. Yeah. When I get up to Tiki Co, if you can remember how to make that, I'm totally going to have to try it.
It's the Verde Suerte, so we have the recipes in our
stash somewhere.
Yeah. We have, like, so many cards, like, all the specials.
I'm sure. So what's the process like at the bar? I mean, does everyone kind of have an equal shot at coming up?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so it's very collaborative there.
Yeah, all the bartenders come up with drinks. I would say... me and another bartender, Gabby, we probably come up with the majority of the drinks.
Yeah.
She's working there probably the most. She's like one of our lead bartenders.
Yeah.
But everybody else will come up with their own drinks once in a while, too.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah.
So what's a favorite that you've picked up while you've been there that someone else has done? Like, what have you learned from some of the other bartenders? There's always some sort of trick in the trade, right?
Yeah. Well, it's so funny because almost all of us at the bar, we were not hired for our experience. We were hired for our personalities, really.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's only one other person that had ever bartended, and she had bartended at, like, this bowling alley, which was, like, a club
yeah.
for, like, a month.
Yeah.
So We're all learning together, I really
so
think.
So were you all tiki people, though? Because
no.
Tiki Co., actually, when I went there, I was really, really impressed with the quality of the drinks that I had there.
Awesome.
And so hearing that, you guys all just kind of were like, let's just do this thing. Because tiki drinks, when you talk to people who've been in the cocktailing world, or I've talked to people who've been in the cocktailing world, I'm sure you have too, just by virtue of being an aficionado, for a really long time, and they will stress how important it is to make tiki drinks right.
Mm-hmm.
You can't free pour a tiki drink, or it's going to taste terrible.
Right.
And, you know, other drinks you can kind of play around here or there, but the key to a good cocktail is it being balanced.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys seem to be doing that. So.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, they turn out really great. So that's super encouraging to hear that you guys are so devoted to the craft.
Yeah.
For being so new to it.
Right. So the owners were into tiki.
Mm-hmm.
I was into tiki. I think pretty much everyone else was learning. So when we did first open, we were visiting other tiki bars, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah, I was going to say, what was the education for that?
Training, yeah.
Did you guys give them all a copy of Sven's book? You know, things
yeah,
like that.
Yeah,
you
pretty much they kind of gave us a little training packet.
Mm-hmm. And this is tiki.
Yeah.
So respect the tiki.
Yeah.
I totally love that. That's great. So everyone there now, are they all tiki fans?
Yes.
Does everybody own like Hawaiian shirts at this point?
Oh yeah.
Everything? And so how has Bakersfield responded to having a tiki bar? Do they care? Is it just another bar? Or
no.
Are there...
People really like it.
Because Bakersfield is not the first a place you would think of. For having tiki, and especially
not even craft cocktails. We have a lot of fun bars.
Yes, there are fun bars, and it's also a Basque territory up there, which is really fascinating. I didn't know that for a long time. And you can go up there and you can get traditional Spanish meals, Basque country meals, and pisco sour is all over the place, right?
Pecan punch.
Oh, it's pecan punch. Okay, see, I'm getting it mixed up. So, what's pecan punch?
So that would be Amerpecan, but you can't get that anymore, so use Torani Amer, or there's like craft distilleries that do their own version,
mm-hmm.
but you're going to mix that with soda water and grenadine and top it with like Spanish brandy. We did a version called the Ticon Punch, and we topped it with rum, of course, but then we actually took it off the menu because people were expecting like fruit punch, not like
they didn't
this
understand.
Strong drink, yeah.
They didn't understand what a punch in tiki like terms is.
Yeah.
Well, maybe that can be a special still. You just have to write down, not a punch, actually this. Did anyone think it was going to be the pecan punch when they went in there? They saw ticon and thought, oh, it would just be the same thing?
Maybe.
Yeah.
So, but it is kind of similar to that. So I think they were expecting like fruit punch, like Hawaiian punch.
Yeah, totally.
And it was not that.
You're like, okay, they're not ready for this yet.
Right.
So, considering that Bakersfield is not known for having craft cocktails or anything, just bars,
mm-hmm.
places to go get wasted.
Lots of bars.
I know I go in there and it's a party, you know, lots of bars. So besides being a tiki bar, you know, what kind of clientele are you getting there? You know, when people come in there, are they like, oh, this is kind of fancy? Or...
I think we get a good mix.
Mm-hmm.
So, mix of ages and everything. So, like, sometimes we'll get some older people in and they'll be like, oh, this reminds me of so-and-so bar that I used to go to back in the day.
Yeah.
Or we'll get younger people in and they just think it's, oh, this is really different. Like, we get a lot of people tell us, we like it here. Like, there's nowhere else like this in Bakersfield.
There is nowhere else like, because you can just sit there and kind of chill out and everything and it doesn't feel chaotic.
Definitely.
And I think that's the difference between like the bars versus a like say a cocktail bar.
Mm-hmm.
You go to a cocktail bar, people are a little bit behaved, or maybe manners are a little different than like a bar where everyone's just like, partying. And there's a place for all of those things. So it's pretty neat, I think, that you guys have done this. Do the owners want to open up any other spots or anything like that?
Yeah, we actually have a basement that is a lot bigger
than the actual
TV Co. Yeah. So hopefully by the end of the year.
So keep an eye on the website for that.
Yeah.
And is that going to be an extension of the tiki bar, or is it going to be a different kind of bar?
I think it's going to be pretty similar,
mm-hmm.
But not exactly the same bar. It's going to have a separate entrance.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
And it's probably only going to be open on the weekends and then for private parties.
Oh, wow. Cool. So it'll have like a tropical flair, but maybe not necessarily a tiki bar like
that's,
Tiki
That's
Cove.
What I'm thinking. I've heard nautical. I'm not sure
so
exactly.
So it's evolving right now, but it will be another, basically another craft cocktail spot in Bakersfield, just in the same building.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really interesting. That's cool. So what do you want to do things there too? Do you want to work in that space as well? What kind of ideas do you have?
So I think it'd be cool to do just pretty much like a rum-focused bar. It's not necessarily just tiki cocktails, but...
just other kind of stuff.
Craft cocktails.
And what would your soundtrack be down there if you could score it yourself?
My soundtrack...
Because you guys play... Do you play tiki music in Tiki Co?
Yeah, we play Exotica, Surf. We play all kinds of stuff, though.
Yeah.
So we usually start with that, and then later in the night goes on, it kind of changes.
Yeah. We have to go with your crowd. But if you could play your own music, let's say in the new spot, you get carte blanche when you're there, you get to just play whatever. What would you be playing to make yourself kind of have fun during the night, get you through? Would it be punk rock?
It would be eclectic.
Yeah, totally. I'm going to ask you for a playlist later. You know that, right?
A playlist?
You're going to have to give me a playlist later. So, but is there like one song that like really peps you up when you're down there doing your thing? Or like when you're in the bar? Or do you not even notice anymore?
I do notice certain songs. We mostly go off. Boy has a bunch of playlists. I go off of those, and she has really good taste in music. He used to be a DJ, so.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you're like, honey, put that together for me. Okay. So you come up with something, I'm sure. So, all right, then, question I like to ask people, and let's see if you can come up with one for this, is just a fun pairing for us. You've heard this, and you know. Like, a drink and a song combo. Something that works for you. Doesn't have to work for everybody. If you want it to work for everybody, that's fine. But something that works for you. Like maybe back in the days when you used to drink at home still.
Yeah.
You know? Like what did you like to listen to when you were having what kind of cocktail? Or even just if you're just drinking neat or just having a beer or something like that.
Okay, so I'm thinking it's summer.
It's summer
very,
right now,
very hot in Bakersfield.
True.
It's been like 105 around there.
I can't believe it's been hotter.
It'll be that for 2 months straight.
I can't believe it's been hotter in my part of town than it is in Bakersfield. It was like 110 when I left my part of LA for like a couple of days. And I was going to New York. I'm like, oh, God, I can't wait for it to be cooler.
Yeah, because
I
can nobody, do it in the humidity. Nobody has like AC over there.
No.
We can't live without it.
Oh, my God, totally.
So but if it's hot weather, I'm going to go with like a daiquiri or a Pimm's Cup.
Daiquiri's like my favorite.
Yeah.
That's my test. A lot of people say, oh, I test with Old Fashions and Manhattans when I go to bars. I'm like, dude, I test with a daiquiri because it's got juice in it. And anybody can pour a lot of booze into
that's
a cup.
True.
But if you put some juice in it and you mess that up, or it's bad juice or whatever, then I'm not going to trust the other stuff. Then I will just drink shots.
Yeah.
You know, at that point. So a daiquiri or a Pimm's Cup or...
Yeah, actually, I've been doing daiquiris with a little bit of arak, like Batavia.
Oh,
arak.
Nice.
That's really good.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah.
And what are you listening to? What's your cool-down music?
I've actually been listening to Beck's new album.
Oh, God.
Colors. Yeah.
Oh, that record. Yeah.
Totally. Well, I don't know how new it is.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe it's within the last year. I'm like,
yeah.
But it is his latest album.
Yeah.
Put it that way. So it's Beck.
I've been listening to Beck, and I've been listening to, actually, we had a friend pass away. Do you know who Richard Swift is?
Oh, yes. Yeah. You knew Richard Swift?
Yeah.
I knew that, and that was an alcoholism thing, if I remember correctly, right? Yeah, I know. He just passed away a couple weeks ago, right?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I didn't know he was someone that you knew.
My husband, he did a music video for The Arcs, which he was part of The Arcs as well as some other bands. But yeah, been playing a lot of his music.
Yeah. I used to book shows at the Hotel Cafe ages ago, and he used to play there a lot.
Aww.
Yeah, so I do remember he was a really nice man. So it's tough when people's demons get the best of them sometimes. So, and speaking to which, we're here at Tales, which has been actually promoting a lot of healthy lifestyle.
Right.
I've noticed that in the seminars here, there's a lot of self-care and healthy lifestyle stuff coming up for all the bartenders involved. And we went to a spirit-free party last night, which was a blast. I had so much fun at that party. So what kind of self-care do you guys do over there? You don't have any... I mean, Bakersfield is not a place that is known for people who are healthy, necessarily. I mean, there's a lot of drug issues out there in that part of the world. And all of that. But you guys are at the bar and everyone's looking after each other there, so.
Right.
Yeah.
I have to encourage people to be responsible. And I think that's why a lot of people come to our bar. It's, you know,
yeah,
you're not drinking just to get drunk. You're drinking to socialize, enjoy what you're drinking.
Yeah, so it's much more casual, and nobody's getting in too much trouble there.
Right.
Well, maybe we can go out on this with, how about what's one of your favorite Richard Swift songs so we can educate people? Because I know people know who Richard Swift is, but people listening to this podcast may not.
Yeah.
So let's get him out there, give him a shout out. So what are one of your favorite or a couple favorite Richard Swift songs?
Lady Luck.
Lady Luck?
Yeah, they should listen to Lady Luck.
There we go. Okay, we can end on that one then. Well, thank you so much for doing this, Karina. And anybody, if you haven't been to Bakersfield, go to Bakersfield and visit Tiki Co. It's totally worth your while. All right, well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Special thanks to Karina. You can find her on Instagram at Classic Karina. From Tiki Co., which you can find on Instagram and on Facebook. Tiki Co., K-O, in Bakersfield. Thanks to those guys for joining us today for a little chat here about music and booze. And there is, if you go to the Mo Herms page on Facebook, I have the Spotify playlist that Karina came up with for us to listen to. And considering that she said that she keeps other people in mind when she chooses her playlist, it's going to be a fun one for you to listen to. So go check that out. Music and Booze with Mo is brought to you by the podcast Inside the Desert Oasis Room, which brings you casual and entertaining conversation with artists, mixologists, collectors, and enthusiasts of the tiki world, all while enjoying a tropical cocktail or three. Check it out at DesertOasisRoom.com. Thanks for tuning in to our barroom chats on Music and Booze with Mo. For more info about today's guests and our Spotify playlist, check out my Facebook page, Mo Herms. Please subscribe to the podcast and feel free to tell all your friends about it. Lower your expectations and join us at the bar. Till next time, cheers. Yeah.